Tradition, tradition. Tevye sang that in Fiddler on the Roof. And in that song, he was extolling the virtues and the value of holding fast to that which has gone before him. I love tradition. I love knowing where I've come from and who has gone before. And I especially like knowing why. Why do we always do this way? Why don't we do it that way? And where does this tradition come from? For me, tradition is all about our current identity as well as history. Today, Protestant churches all over the globe are celebrating something that happened 500 years ago this coming Tuesday. We call it the Reformation. An event that was started in 1517 in Germany by Martin Luther. And we are celebrating it as well because it is our tradition and because I think that knowing our roots is key to knowing who we are and where we are going. So this morning we take a look at this part of our history. Martin Luther was born in Germany in 1483 at the very end of the Middle Ages. His early life was ruled by a fear of God's judgment on him. The course then of his life, though, changed when he was 22 years old. During a thunderstorm in the summer of 1505, a lightning bolt struck near him as he was walking to school one day, and terrified, he cried out, "Help, Saint Anna, and I'll become a monk." And he did survive, and so he left law school, he sold his books, and entered the monastery just 2 weeks later. He became a pastor. He got his doctorate in theology and was a respected professor at the University of Wittenberg and was the assistant pastor at the Castle Church in the same town. Luther's entire personal and professional life both had the same purpose: to serve Christ and to serve Christ's church. Well, at that time in Europe, the church was the Holy Roman Catholic Church under the leadership of Pope Leo X. But the nature of the church then was very different from today. 16th century Catholic leaders knew that encouraging individual believers to read the Bible for themselves in their own language could undermine their authority. And so all of worship was held in Latin, and the common people had no access to the Bible since it had never been translated into German, the language they spoke. So they couldn't understand what was happening in worship, and they couldn't read the Bible for themselves. The church was also teaching that you could secure your place in heaven by doing good deeds. And the big theological term for this is salvation by works. And that you could literally buy forgiveness. In fact, you could even purchase a certificate which would grant forgiveness of your sins, promising salvation in eternal life. Pope Leo actually financed the building of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome with the money. These were called indulgences, these things you could buy to secure your forgiveness. Well, during this time, Luther had been studying the Bible and theology and philosophy, as well as really trying to live the life of a faithful monk. And yet something was not right for him. For all of his striving, he did not feel at peace with God, and he didn't feel at peace with his church. Then, some of Luther's parishioners purchased these indulgences and asked him about them. And this was the straw that broke the camel's back. And this was when he knew that his beloved church was on the wrong path. Also at this time, he was studying and lecturing on the book of Romans, and these verses in chapter 3, which we read this morning, grabbed him. "For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, believers are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God put forward as a sacrifice effective through faith." This blew him away. His discovery of God's grace then transformed him, and he was never the same. And not only was the course of his life changed, but all of history was changed as well, because he closely read the scriptures and was prayerfully trying to understand what they meant. And so he wanted to talk with the folks in his church about this new insight and what it might mean for the church. So he wrote what are now his famous, the 95 Theses, which are basically simple sentences, and they're points for discussion. And he sent them to his archbishop, and he also posted them on the front door of his church. This really would be like a Facebook post in his day. That's what they did. The doors of the church were right on the main street, and that's what you did. If you had something important, it was like the big bulletin board. So there'd be tons of papers and things tacked onto the door of the church, because that's where people could read the news. So that's what he did. 95 important points about the Bible and the church. And he also did it on October 31st. And he chose October 31st because the next day, November 1st, is All Saints' Day. And it's a day when the church would be full of worshipers. A lot of people would be coming to celebrate All Saints, which we will celebrate next Sunday. He knew that the people coming would be educated, would be literate, would read what he had said, and it would start the conversation. What's significant is not that he put paper on the door of the church, but what he said. The bottom line of what he said in all these points is that you cannot buy your way to God, to heaven, to salvation. It's only through faith in Jesus Christ that we find forgiveness for our sins and we draw closer to God. And the way to know more about Christ and God is by reading the Bible. The Bible, Luther discovered, really does two things, which come through in our reading for today. The Bible shows us our sin, and it shows us our Savior. When we read the Bible, we become conscious of our sin, but we are no longer afraid of punishment from an angry God, because we learn about who God really is as well in Jesus. We learn that through Jesus, sin is not so much a matter of breaking God's law as it is breaking God's heart. And so we come to God brokenhearted ourselves, like a sorry child goes to their mother, because we know that the God we come to is love, believing with all our hearts what Jesus told us about God is true. We do not need to be afraid of this God. And so we trust there will be forgiveness and all will be made right by God. Through Jesus, God turns the whole system upside down. A woman caught in adultery is forgiven and her accusers are convicted. The sick and the maimed and the healed are healed and made whole. Hated outcasts now have a beloved dinner companion. Excluded children are now brought to the center. And at the center with them is, of course, Jesus. And at the center of our life and our faith is also Jesus. Through the death of Christ, we are brought before God. We are freed from the weight of sin. Our identity as Christians and as the church grows out of this wondrous act of love, Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And God gives us this gift, not because we deserve it, but because it is God's nature to be merciful. He gives us what we don't deserve. We talked about this last week. God gives us his grace. It's just given. And this is really good news. And it was such good news to Luther 500 years ago that he had to find a way to tell everyone about it. And when he found that the church was becoming an obstacle to this good news of Jesus, he set about to correct them. He invited people to debate and to discuss his new insight because he was confident that the word of God would show people the truth and then their errors would be corrected. It's helpful to note that Martin Luther never intended to break from the Roman Catholic Church. He loved his church. if he knew that there had been an entire tradition named after him, the Lutherans, he'd be astonished. He truly wanted his church to share the good news he'd found in Scripture and to realign themselves with the Bible. He did not want to go off and start a whole new tradition. But the Holy Spirit was alive in Luther and in his work. Even though he was excommunicated not just from his church, but from his state, he continued to dedicate his life to bring the good news to all people. While he was imprisoned for his safety, he translated the Bible into German for the first time. His following was immense, and other scholars rose up then to debate the issues he'd put forth. John Calvin, Ulrich Zwingli, and the Protestant Reformation was born and spread through Europe and on into England, and then eventually to America. As the church moved and moves through time and history, things change. Some changes are for the better, and some changes are not. Sometimes we'll stop doing things a certain way and we'll drop a tradition. Other times we'll take up new ways and new traditions. But as we do well to keep the story and the insights of Martin Luther with us. I'm reminded of a book about the church written by Brown Barr. He was a professor at a seminary out in San Francisco. It's called High Flying Geese. And in it, he uses a flock of geese as a metaphor for the church. When geese are flying, they are able to change directions extremely accurately and quickly. They may see food or a good place to land and need to get from here to there really quickly and on a dime. And while they can bank their bodies to 180 degrees, even as they swoop toward the ground, they can land with accuracy and without injury as a whole flock because while their bodies turn like this, their head remains on level with the horizon. That's how they do it. And that's how the church ought to move as well. With our heads and our eyes fixed on Christ, our horizon. That's what Luther was all about, focused on the Bible's teachings and God's grace and God's forgiveness as he sought to steer them back on course. And for us as well, as we move into the future God has placed before us, we look back, yes, at regular intervals to know where we've come from, and as we fly forward, we keep our eyes on Christ, his death and his resurrection, and the word through which we know him, which says at every turn, you are loved and grace is for you. This will keep us not only from crashing, but it will keep us headed in the right direction, always towards Christ. Amen.